morning. If you'd turn with us to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Last Sunday, as many families responded to the altar and praying together, I wasn't able to deal with this passage the way I would like to devote time to it. We start this morning on our seventh sermon on the double name calls in the Bible. You know, we seen the first Sunday, we used the text from Genesis 22 on Abraham. There he took Isaac, his son, up on the mountain where God would tell him. And so those servants of Abraham left at the foot of the mountain. Abraham went up and God called his name right in the nick of time. Aren't you glad God knows your situation this morning? We've seen those days of Abraham. Then we had talked about Simon, Simon. Satan doth desire to have you, that he would sift you as wheat. And young people, that is the devil's desire today. It's to not only take your life, but to destroy your life. And then we dealt with Saul on the Damascus Road. Saul was a great intruder of the church. He believed with all of his heart that he was doing right. But God called his name on the Damascus Road and he got gloriously saved by the grace of God. Then we dealt with Martha, Martha. My goodness, what a Bible character. I think that's one of my favorite passages. One of my favorite that I've preached, where Jesus came into her house. She received him. She became very busy in serving. She looked at Mary, her sister, and she was at Jesus' feet. Martha knew where to take her problems. She run to Jesus, but she done a lot like you and I do. She told Jesus how to fix the situation. But Jesus told her, he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about." He said, "You're caught up in a tizzy about many things. Mary hath chosen the needful part." So it is a choice whether if you get at his feet this morning or not. Then we spoke simply after Martha, Martha. We had dealt with the text with Samuel, Samuel. Samuel's mother made him a little coat. I told Brother Mike, coming back from the mountains this week, that I was preaching up there one night, and I noticed all these coats came in the Bible. I'd like to deal with those coats one day of the Bible. But here, Samuel was called. God used him for a great prophet. And then we dealt with Jacob. Jacob, you know, Jacob was old. Joseph, his son, is a type of Christ. Joseph now is second in all of Egypt. A great famine comes across the land and it dries up where Jacob is. You may be where, maybe you are in a place this morning that's dried up around you. And God sent him word back to Jacob and said, "You come down into Egypt and Joseph is going to see about you." Jacob didn't want to leave, did he? He's an old man. It's hard for an old person to adjust, to move. And in this life, many adjustments come. Change comes, young people. Hold on. Your priorities have changed the older you get. Young people, hold on. Right now, you're bulletproof. It's going to come a day you get up and your shatters are hurting. Somebody say amen. So change came to Jacob's life. But aren't you glad that God came to Jacob and helped him in his change? But this morning, a Bible character I'd like to deal with a few moments. Being Moses, we've heard about him all the way from days of Sunday school, but I want to look at just a few highlights of this of Moses this morning, and then I want to give you the thrust of my heart today out of this scripture. Exodus 3, verse number 1, we'll deal with our seventh message today on the double name characters found in our Bible. If you'll stand, our custom is, as they did in the Bible, they stood at the reading of the Word of God. Let's stand and reverence the Word of God this morning. Exodus chapter number 3, verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. And God, I feel so rushed this morning. And I pray that you would help me today to preach right. And God, the truths in this scripture, I pray that you would highlight those to us this morning. Would you speak to hearts around this place? And God, as I got up to preach, I noticed all the people that's looking on Facebook this morning that cannot be here. But God, I'm so glad that they've not disconnected from your word. And God, they're at home now because they have to be. But I pray you do great things for them and return them here safely soon. Help us now. I'm a needy preacher. I pray you'd use me to be a blessing to the people of God this morning. And Lord, I need you. God, our church needs you. Our nation needs you. And I pray now you'd speak to us out of thy word. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. Turn to the left-hand side in your Bible to chapter 2, verse number 1. I want to pick up and I want to deal with Moses by the riverside. Moses by the riverside. Moses is a very unique individual. In this passage here, we find there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to him the wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. I want to park there and deal with gender one moment. You see, it takes a man and a woman to have a child. And so the Bible's not confused, and we should never be confused. There is a man and a woman. And sir, God intended you later to marry a woman. And young lady, God intended you later to marry a man. Amen. And so here, the mom and daddy gets together, they have a child, and guess what comes forth? It's little Moses, but there's a situation now. We find him down by the riverside. Now here, the king of Egypt, he looked out and he seen that the people of God was doing way too good in Egypt. He sent a decree out and he said, he told all the midwives, those that would deliver the babies, said, I want you to destroy every male child that is born of them people. So the midwives came back and they said something that many of the clinics of our day and hour would not say. Said, we will not destroy them babies. And so here we find Moses by the riverside. The Bible said, verse 3, she had Moses, his mother, and she could not longer hide him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And look what happens. And his sister stood afar off, Moses' sister, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now, I'm interested in verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. You know, it's nothing like a baby's cry to a mother. It's nothing like a baby's cry to a woman. It got her attention. So what had happened now, Moses' mother, instead of destroying him, she trusted God. She put him in an ark by the flags of the river down in the Nile. A lot of alligators, crocodiles, whatever. But she laid him there and she had faith in God. Now, this is what happens. Moses' sister goes down by the riverside looking at that little basket, wondering where their brothers are going down to. And about just the way our God is, He's so good on timing. He sends Pharaoh's daughter down, and she came there to bathe or to worship, if you really study it. She had maids with her, and she seen this little vessel floating, and she looked over it, and when she unwrapped that cloth and looked in it, ain't no telling what I'll find in here this morning, but when she looked in it, the babe wept. Got her attention. See, God's timing is everything. And can I tell you, there was Moses' sister looking. There's been lookout that's looking about us since we were young that we never knew nothing about. I sure am glad that God had lookouts looking after me. It's no accident that you got through what you got through. There's been a big God behind the scenes to see you safely through this morning. And you ought to be glad it's not by circumstance or luck or by roll of the dice, but it is the great loving hand of our God that has seen about us since we've been a child. So the babe wept, got her attention. We find Moses by the riverside. Well, something happens now. The little sister went up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Would you like for me to find a lady that can nurse this child?" She said, "I sure would." Well, let me tell you how good God is. God took Moses back to his mother. And she raises him and weans him. But now something happens so big in Moses' life. Pharaoh's daughter comes and she hands Moses over to her. And now he's raised for 40 years in Pharaoh's house. Can you imagine how good God was to Moses? You say, "Preacher, that's so devastating how that he had to leave his mother." It is devastating. But look how good God was. God allowed Moses to be put in the most royal family in the land. And he's raised. He goes to the best schools. He learns the best things. He has been taught like no other child. And now at 40 years old, Brother Mike, I didn't realize till I studied it this weekend, God put something in Moses' heart about God's people. With all the splendor and all the palaces and all the good things that Moses enjoyed and was adjusted to, he said, "You know something? That don't mean nothing to me now. When you get older in life, your priorities are going to change." God put something in Moses' heart to go and rescue God's people. So now we pick Moses up, no longer by the riverside, but now we find him in chapter 2, verse 11, by the brethren's side. It said this, "Came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw him, he slew him and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, 'Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?' And he said, 'Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptians?' And Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is known.' And when Pharaoh, who raised him, looked, heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." We see Moses by the riverside, but now we see him by the brethren's side. He looked out and his brothers meant something to him. Can I tell you, we that are in the family of Christ, our brothers and sisters ought to mean something to us. God had put something big in Moses' heart. You say, why do you say that? I'm going to read this right quick. Acts 7, verse 17. "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt separately with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers. They cast out their young children to the end that might not live, in which time Moses was born, as it was exceedingly fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him and nourished him for her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty words and in deeds." And watch, "when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him. He was oppressed and smote the Egyptians And he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Why'd you say that, preacher? When Moses looked at them brethren and he slew that Egyptian and hit him in the sand, he thought sure his brethren would say and listen to him, God's put in my heart to deliver you. But they rejected him. They rejected him. And so he's 40 years old now. So Moses feels no doubt like a failure. So let's look what he does. He says, okay, if my brethren won't have me, I know what God's want me to do. All I can do is trust God one day at a time. So we find him now not only by the riverside, not only by the brethren side, but now he lands down by the well side. Guess what happens at the well side? There's a pretty young girl comes by and just steals his heart. And so the Bible said there's a stone over the well's mouth and the sheep could not drink. And Moses stood up and watered the flock. Hey, folks at Liberty Baptist Church, we need men of God that will stand up and water the flock. It's no time to back off preaching this morning. It's time to stand up and let the redeemed say so in this day and this hour. Aren't you glad you run across some men that would stand up, take the stones off the whale's mouth, and water the flock by the good grace of God? There's nothing like being around the well of God this morning. And so we find him by the riverside. We find him by the brethren side. Now we find him by the well side. Then we find him not long by the woman's side. He marries this woman. They have a child. And so now 40 years has transpired and we get to where I want to preach at this morning. Aren't you glad? Exodus 3 picks up. No longer do we see Moses by the riverside. No longer is he at the brethren's side, or the well side, or the woman's side, but now we find him on the backside. And now Moses is 80 years old. I want you to think about this just a minute. He was raised 40 years in Pharaoh's house. So educated. He looked around. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, he was willing to turn his back on the treasures of Egypt in order to go with the people of God. And we pick him up now on the backside. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. You know, God is always working things out in our life that we never can see. There's no doubt for 40 years when he met this young lady at the well, he didn't realize he'd have to go 40 years till he got to this burning bush. He had no idea this burning bush was in front of him. So I want to say this, Moses is 80 years old. We that are 50, 60 above, we think that we're too old for God to use. Don't tell Moses that. Moses is 80 now. Let's look what happens. He's find him on the backside. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now let's talk about his experience just a second. Moses is so educated. He knew all about the palaces of Egypt. But now God's going to teach him about life on the backside of the desert. God's going to teach him, just as a little shepherd boy raising that flock for his dad-in-law. For 40 years, he's serving God, and he's simply just like, I don't know why they didn't want me to do what God wanted me to do, but he's simply trusting God in his days. And so now something happens. The highlight here in Moses' life, or one of them, we find him no longer by the backside, but now we find him on the mountainside. He said the priests of the Midian led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight. Look, why the bush is not burnt? And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see, and God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. Now let's look at him on the mountainside. First of all, you'll notice there was a great adventure in verse 1. For 40 years, he's no doubt felt that he was non-effectual, that he was on the backside. seemed like life was just sort of mundane, but God still had a plan for him. Let me tell you, at Liberty Baptist Church today, it does not matter your age, God can still use you this morning. And so we see here this adventure. But then in verse 2, look at this attraction. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now this attraction, God could have lit the whole mountainside ablaze, but he didn't. And you'll notice this, God said, there was a flame of fire come out of the midst of the bush. The bush was not totally burning and blazing as we look, but look what the Bible says. Right in the midst of this bush, there's fire. And so Moses is walking, and Moses has seen a lot of bushes on fire. Moses, no doubt, has seen some very big fires in his life, but this got his attention. I wonder what little fire in your life is going to get your attention. I wonder what God has allowed right in the midst, right out of the midst of your situation. I wonder, has He got your attention? You'll notice the Bible says that as He's going up this mountain, He sees this bush. Fire is coming out of the midst of it in verse 2. But look at what He says in verse 3. He said something that really struck me. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? He said, I've seen a lot of bushes burn, but I've never seen one that wouldn't burn up. He said, why is this thing ablazing? I wonder what God would set a fire in my life, in your life, and we just seem like we can't get that fire out. Maybe we wonder why a lot of time. Why did it ever catch a fire? Why will it not die out and burn out? Maybe God's wanting to get our attention. God knew what Moses needed to get his attention. Young people, God knows what you need to get your attention. Older people, God knows what it'll take to get our attention. And so here out of the midst of this bush, you'll notice the bush was not blazing. This fire was coming right out of the midst of this bush. So we see this attraction and this attention. But in verse 4, look what God does through this fire. You know, some of you may be going through a hard process in life. Some of you may be going through a very fiery trial, a great experience. But I want you to notice what God done. God called His name out of that fire. God called His name. Look at this admonishment in verse 4. The Bible said, when the Lord saw that He turned aside to see, God called to Him out of the midst of the bush. You're never going to get help till you turn and look. A lot of people, God tries to get their attention and they get a glance, but the Bible said Moses turned and he looked. We get so distracted. But I've noticed a lot of these fiery trials in my life, when I turn and look and really see what's going on, God's got something to say out of it. And let me tell you something. You may think it's an accident. You may think this devastation that's happened with your family or your friends or your loved ones, you may think it's by accident, but God's got a reason with everything, and God uses many things. That thief on the cross, the greatest day in his life is when he got caught. The greatest day in his life is when he got caught and put on a cross. Because that day he had the opportunity to call out and say, oh Lord, remember me. Sometimes we must look at these fiery trials as not disaster, but we have to look in the light of God many times at what they're accomplishing in our life. I can tell you many times in my life when things have become burning and in a flame and it got my attention, God spoke to me out of that. And then I want to say, on this light of things that I dealt with last Sunday, and I'm about done preaching. I want to get to something else. You'll notice this bush burned with fire. It wouldn't go out. That it wouldn't burn up. You know, any of you that's ever had to burn wood or brush, you'll notice when you light it a little bit, it just never stays in one spot. It just keeps spreading and it gets bigger and bigger. And before long, when the fuel dies, the fire dies. But this wouldn't die. This wouldn't go out. And maybe the way you need to get your fire put out is to surrender to God this morning. Maybe God's going to let this thing burn in your life till you get the message. So he calls out to him, Moses, Moses. On the spiritual side of things, I sure am glad that we've got a church at Liberty Baptist Church this morning that is filled with fire. And out of this bush, one of the reasons that we need to pray and we should pray, we need God to call our children's name out of this bush that's on fire this morning. There's people driving up and down the highways. They're going to meet God. Young people, this is not a fairy tale. I'm not preaching out of the Reader's Digest, honey. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shine. And we're all going to meet God one day. And we must be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to heaven, young people. Oh, would God, Brother Mike, let this place be set ablaze. Brother Jamie come to me the other night and said, Preacher, I just wish we could just get together and pray again. Ask God to move and help us and save again. Oh, how we need this bush at Liberty Baptist Church set afire that He's calling men and women, boys and girls out of it. Brother Mike, I remember before we added these wings, I was sitting here one morning. There's a big old robust boy come in the foyer. He walked straight to me and he said, Preacher. He said, Are you the preacher here? I said, I am. He said, I was coming by this church this week and I looked up at the front of this church in the steeple and God spoke to me and I need to be saved. You say, what was going on? God is still calling out of the fiery bush this morning. And you may have a great fire that's come up in your life, but you ought to see what God's saying to you out of it. So he got saved because God called to him out of the bush. I want to ask you this morning, is God calling your name? Has God said anything to you out of your trial, your experience? So this is what he tells him. He says, Moses, Moses. It becomes personal. It becomes very urgent. Miss Sherry, I want you to come if you would please, ma'am. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off your shoes from thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Young people, God is still holy. God's facilities is still a place where we're disconnected from this world and God is lifted high. It is a holy place this morning. It's not a community center. It's not a country club. It's the church, the house of the living God. And we must respect Him and His place this morning. So he said, Moses, take your shoes off. I preach a whole message right there on just that thought. Take your shoes off. Don't want to go there this morning, but Moses simply realized God was holy and he must respect him. And God got his attention. There's young people all around the house today. There's older people. There's mom and daddies that I know about. I'm a pastor. A few times I've talked to Brother Mike about some situations. Sometimes people come to me in strict confidence and I never say a word. You'd be surprised what people have told me here in 28 years. Their heart and their situations and their families. things that I can't even talk about, but I do know this, it's a very fiery trial. It's real deal experiences. You know something? It was personal. Whatever God does in our life, whatever's calling our name, it'll be very personal. I wonder what God's dealing with you about. Now, this is simply what Moses did. He respected God. He took his shoes off. You know, Miss Sherry, I might not ought to call you up this soon. I won't be 3 more minutes. I bought me a new pair of shoes the other day. I wore them last Sunday. I love good looking shoes, Brother Randall. I like them color shoes. I like Miss Peggy, I got out of the car at the carport. This way I went in the house. I took them things off. I bought them from Amazon as a deal, you know. I unzipped them things. I throwed them down. I said, I'm a cripple. I said, I will never wear them again. I called Brother Alan Kerr on the way to preach. I said, I got you another pair of shoes, buddy. Brother Alan, he's heavy enough. He can mash them down, Brother Lee. It was such a blessing when I got them shoes off and got rest for my feet. I got up to go to the dinner table. Macy said, Daddy, we need to put a shot in your foot this week. I said, no, I need to get them shoes off. Jesus brings rest this morning. There may be something in your shoe that's bothering you. Moses took it off and he said, it sure does bring rest. I'll tell you another thing. You know what this shows? It shows that it brought reliance. He said, God, what you're asking me to do, they've done rejected me 40 years ago. They rejected me. He said, who am I to do this? Brother Tim, you see that? I think it's verse 17. Who am I to do this? God, they've rejected me. Who am I to do this? It brings reliance. Some of you are facing things in your life and you know that you can't do it. God's asking you to do some things, you know, and you know that you can't do it. So Moses said, I'm going to give you my shoes because the only way this is going to work, God, is if you do it. That's where we've got to get with God. I can't do it myself. But God can do anything. God said, I am that I am, what he told him there at that bush. He said, you know what? He said, now I've got your attention. I've got your respect. You've come to me in humbleness. He said, now I'm going to send you someplace. You see, Brother Adam, could it have been this when he was 40 years old? Was he too powerful? Brother Darrell, did he have too much gifts? Could he have done it too much by himself? But now God's allowed him to go 40 years on the backside. And he walks up to God and he said, I can't do this. And God said, this is exactly where I've been wanting to get you for 40 years. Now I can use you. You know, I've noticed through my life so many fiery trials and broken things. God couldn't use me then. But Brother Jerry, he can now. I've got to have God tonight. I've got to have him in the morning. Miss Sherry, I want you to play. I just wonder today what you need. I know I've covered a lot of area, but I just wonder, has God said anything to you? Young person, is he calling your name out of the bush to be saved this morning? God must deal with your heart, young people, older people. God knocking at your heart, calling your name out of this bush that's burning this morning. Maybe you're here today in this experience that is going on now. What is God wanting to tell you out of that? Our altar's open. You need any help this morning? Would you come? Would you come?